Hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christy, Marie, and Julie. Happy 2021. Happy New Year.
2021.
Yes.
Everybody's so excited.
It's a little annoying, don't you think, though?
Yeah. I mean, even commercials.
Oh, yeah. It's like we're all on the bandwagon, like, kiss 2020 goodbye. It's
I did not even year. Understand. You know that one commercial for Match.com?
Yes.
I saw it, and I had the sound down low.
Okay.
But it was like, oh, this girl wants to date Satan?
Right.
What the hell?
Right. Well, I think it means that Satan is dating the year, 2020.
She's a year. Her name, she's a year. Her year is 2020.
Yes.
And so Satan is a perfect match
for
her. And because she's a girl that she steals toilet paper.
Yes.
What else does she do?
She records movies. They went to the movie together and mm-hmm. they sat in the front and she just recorded it on mm-hmm. her phone.
Yeah.
You know, I guess Tenet. I don't know what other ones were playing.
Which may or may not have been true because yeah. Tenet's a loop anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Know.
Exactly.
And the reason it's Tenet is because it's a palindrome.
Oh, there you go.
Because you can't tell whether it's coming or going.
Oh, there you go. Except that it's bizarre because in some here. Okay. I'm just going to say this real quick about Tenet.
Are we talking about Tenet or are we talking about hell?
Both. I felt like I was in hell watching Tenet. There were good stuff such as, you know,
John David Washington.
John David Washington. He was awesome. The other thing was this. We talked about it last week, but I don't understand why in some scenes they had to wear oxygen and other scenes they didn't. They just walked backwards.
It was a COVID movie.
So I guess COVID came in halfway through. I don't know.
We don't know.
I don't know anything about it, but yeah. It's all okay.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
It was 2.5 hours of popcorn and M&M eating.
Oh, for sure.
So that was, let's just consider it a vehicle to eat popcorn and M&Ms.
Right. And so getting back to the commercials.
Yes.
So, right. So at this moment, I am a little tired of everyone saying, yes, 2020 was a horrible year because there's so many streaming places now to get your entertainment. Everyone must have their specific way of kissing 2020 goodbye.
Right.
And it was a bad year in a lot of ways. It was also a lot of interesting stuff going down. I mean, in some ways, looking back, this whole
way back. Let's go back. Julie, let's come into the welcome to the way back machine.
Well, okay, I'll say one thing real quick. We, you know, our government finally came clean saying that they have material from a spaceship that, you know, from that, I think it was on, I mean, it was on a real magazine, I'm Popular Mechanics, mm-hmm. but it was a news release. Mm-hmm. But no one picked up on it that much. I only mm-hmm. heard about it because Tim Ferriss said, no one's talking about the fact that our federal government said, yeah, we have some material that was left from a spaceship. Mm-hmm.
And we don't know if it's a, what space it came from. It
no.
just, you know, who knows? And also we
could be from up my butt space. That's
and we had the Tic Tac.
Yeah,
so there's been some interesting things
yes.
to say the least.
I mean, so that kind of so I was talking to my friend, and we were just talking about the year, and I said, you know, if I was into conspiracy theories, I would have thought that COVID-19 was all about like, hey, look over here while we're dealing with this other here, and we don't really want you to look at this too much because we kind of need it privacy
while
we work things out.
It's all magics.
Yes. And for whatever reason, last night I'm biking on my bike and I'm in like 3-minute intervals because this bike really hurts my coochie and my butt.
It hurts your vajayjay.
It does hurt my vajayjay. Yeah. I need to toughen it up a little bit. Yeah. And
you need to get some calluses there, girlfriend.
I do. I need to, and I put a pillow on it and I put a.
That ain't going to toughen
those
it up.
Seats, no. Those seats are not designed for anyone needing a bike to ride.
No. They're designed for soul cycling.
I guess, which means you're not standing on.
That's right.
Exactly. So that's why the seats are so uncomfortable because they're meant to get you off your butt.
Yes.
You know, then
they don't
literally
know
just, yeah. Call it something else. Call it an elliptical then, okay? But so I'm doing this and I'm watching Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind with Dr. Greer.
Dr. Stephen Greer.
Yes. And I've seen this before. Mm-hmm. I know I've seen this show before, mm-hmm. but you forget. And it's kind of got a really funky, wild intro music and credit music. Mm-hmm. And it's narrated by Piven, Jeremy Piven's, mm-hmm. Piven or Piven's.
Whoa, Jeremy Piven.
Yes. And, but what I liked about it in the first couple minutes of the show, they talk about how, they show pictures of UFOs and interdimensional light beings and mm-hmm. light beings, because this show is all about breaking the myth that even though that this was the year, or the, like the, you know, that the government's come out saying, yeah, we see these things going on. Mm-hmm. They're still
not totally forthcoming.
They're still changing the narrative to be war hungry. Mm-hmm. Like, we have a threat.
Right.
They are a threat to
right.
us
right.
because the industry, or what did that one president say? Be aware of the military industrial
complex.
Yes. Be aware of the military-industrial complex, because they see everything as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, that would, you know, they really don't need to be there.
Well, what is it? Was it the War of the Worlds? I can't remember, but there was this one movie in which there was this group of people that they were like, oh, this mothership, the spaceships are here. They all gathered
yes.
in a field, and they were so happy, and like they were the first to go.
That was Independence Day.
Independence Day. They went
up to the top of this one building,
yeah.
had the signs like, hey, we're here, yeah, we're here.
Take us.
And then,
welcome.
Boom.
Yeah. Oh, we...
Yeah, so I get it.
They were just considered low-hanging fruit.
Right. And watching the show, it was one of the reasons why I downloaded that one app. Can't even name of the app now, but it was to...
Call. It was an app that calls spaceships to you.
Yeah, and what it was designed to do is to track other like-minded... People like yourself.
Because it's easier to call spaceships collectively than singularly.
Yes. And we can all get together and have a love fest and bring down and materialize a ship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've seen ships. We've seen light.
Yes.
We know people who've seen it. So
we've
we're
seen
not,
fire. We've seen rain.
Exactly. Yeah. We've done a little dance, done a little singing. You know, mm-hmm. we know it. So... if I was into conspiracy theories, I would have thought COVID-19 was this big conspiracy theory, or like, hey guys, this is really bad. We got to shut everything down because something else is going on that we got to address. We can't.
Well, a lot of people thought that what they were addressing is that they were taking whatever they spray from planes and keeping you inside so that they could spray whatever they needed to spray and pollinate.
Mm. And got it.
So that you would be inside during that time.
So I like that idea. I mean, yeah. that's definitely a conspiracy theory.
But did you learn anything from this movie? You know, well, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. Explain what is the fifth kind real quick?
Well, the fifth kind is an interaction, I think.
Well, the fifth kind is that instead of them coming to you, or no, wait, no. You call them.
You call them.
Instead of them just
I
like.
I can't remember.
But it's like you, it's like a, it's where you have a relationship.
Well, this was the year, too, that I saw the first season of Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix. And in one of them, they talk about this event that happened in a small Vermont or Maine right. town or Connecticut town. And it was how this one night, this UFO came by and like literally took people up into space or into their, you know, into the spaceship. And it was a town event.
And, it was a several town event.
Several town
yeah.
event
yeah.
that I had never heard about before.
And people got like taken up, and when they were deposited back, they had their clothes on backwards,
yeah.
and like a person that was driving was in the back seat.
You're like,
and,
well, this happened. Yeah,
yeah. exactly. So it was wild.
It was wild. I'm
That's
thinking,
great.
Okay. And so I'm always curious about this, but I'm also a little fear pattern because I don't want to meet one of the ones that are probing me, you know. But if my memory is wiped, I guess I'm okay.
Well, also too, Jill, they do say that.
Who are they?
Let me I understand.
Okay.
But I'm trying to think about how they worded it.
Okay.
But it's just like this: if they're probing your butt, they're not worthy. They're not the good kind.
Right.
They don't need to probe your butt.
Oh, I see what you're saying. They just kind of want to. They get off on it.
They could do anything they want without probing your butt.
I get what you're saying. But so the ones that do probe, they really don't need to.
They're probably like on our planet. They're probably like the guys that have the foot ankle bracelet.
Got it. Okay. Or what if I get you? Or what
it's
if
those
though,
guys?
What if the probe is more like? Okay, I'm not gonna. You've had a colonoscopy, so has Dad. Maybe the probing is in preparation for the things that have to occur afterwards. So, like the doctor, the alien doctors don't have to probe to get information.
Right,
it's part of the prep work.
It's preparation.
It's preparation.
We just don't know what it's in preparation for.
Well, to get a total scan of your body, maybe.
Oh.
I don't know. But that's just one thing. But I want to tell you.
Which could be preparation H for horror.
I know.
Horrible.
I was looking up. I'm going to come. There's a couple different things that's happened that I feel very embarrassed about. Like I just misspelled words, things like that. Or I've said things wrong. But I was.
Wait, what? You?
Yeah, what? Me? Really? Me? So I was looking up just really cool ways of decorating cakes. I was just in one of those moods.
Yeah.
And I was on a website that also had ads, you know? Really?
Really?
Yeah, exactly, which is annoying. And then I saw this really pretty way of decorating cake. I'm like, well, that's kind of interesting. And then I realized it was a picture of the coronavirus.
Ooh.
At a glance, I didn't have my glasses on. At a glance, I'm like, oh, look at that white cake with these really pretty red buds everywhere.
Ooh.
I go, that's kind of interesting. Yeah. Way of decorating
we
cake.
All know that thing. We all know what that looks like.
Yes.
It's like that spike. It looks like that thing.
So I guess we could have a coronavirus cake now because I know how to decorate it for it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Larry King has it.
Oh, Larry King has coronavirus?
Yeah.
Aw.
That dude's been around forever.
I know. Yes, he has. Yeah. I don't know what to say about it except that he'll probably do well. I mean, you know.
He should come out of it.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I know. It is. I don't even know what to say about it. Like,
I
wish him well. And
I don't like it that young people take old people going so cavalierly.
Right.
Like, oh, he had a good life.
Yeah.
Oh, he's in his 80s.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's, you know, I'm sure you don't want anybody saying that about you when you're 80.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I know.
It's a little too cavalier.
Well,
somebody needs to be smacked on the cheek with both sides of the hand.
Well, since we never know when we're going to die, someone 30 might die at 35. And then you just go, oh, but if, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just don't know how long you're going to live.
Right.
So if you're 80, you might live 20 more years. And you're just like, oh, okay. It is all tragic, you know? I don't know.
Where are you going with this?
I have no idea where I'm going with it, except that I totally agree with you that I don't like it when 20 and 30-year-olds start saying, like, if you're kind of throwaway at 80.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, you can say that because you're 20 and 30.
Well, I mean, I was one of those kids that sang Dylan's song, you know, if you can't lend a hand, get out of the way.
Right.
You know?
And in your mind, that meant die, old man. Right? Is that what it meant?
No, I just was like, get out of the way.
Get out of the way.
But now...
What did that mean? That go to Florida?
But see, you could do that in those days.
Right.
You could, with dignity, move to some place in Florida.
Right.
But now you're 80 and you're still, you know, stocking shelves at Walmart.
Right.
Or you're still driving
and
the
Walmart's
truck.
And Walmart's grateful because 20 and 30-year-olds don't want to stock shelves at Walmart.
They don't have to. They're living in their parents' basements.
They're making millions off of TikTok and they don't know
That's
why.
That's right. They're making millions.
Millions off of TikTok. Yeah. Who knows why?
Or they're
traveling. Content creators.
They're van people.
Yeah. They're living off.
They have the van life.
Exactly.
Living off their, whatever they figured out that we've never been able to figure out.
Right. Well, I know. We keep saying that. Like, we haven't mastered that code yet of becoming completely digitalized. You know, financially digitalized. So,
See, I've been digitalized.
My work is digitalized. Everything 100%
the alien
digitalized.
Spaceship came down and digitalized me.
Because deep down, I don't know if I'm that kind of girl. You
deep
know?
Down, we don't know if we're those girls.
You know, I mean, yeah. I don't. I haven't totally submitted to the idea that life is on the line.
Yeah.
On the line. Yeah. Online.
Julie, you haven't submitted to being digitalized.
I haven't. I want to be digitalized, but I haven't yet. So I want to ask you a couple questions. I don't know if you want to share this or not. We kind of did our 2021 goals differently this year.
Yeah, we did.
You know, we always have goals. And we last year, we put them in envelopes. Don't know what we did the envelopes.
We lost them.
but about February 2nd, everything went out the window.
Yeah,
and
especially
like,
March.
It was like, okay, it's done.
But we threw our envelopes away, but you know what we did? Mm-mm. We bought toilet paper.
Yes, yes, we did. And we bought Shopify stock.
We have bought more toilet paper this year than ever before.
Someone made a good point about toilet paper, like why there was such a run on it. One, and the reason why, and I got this, is that it takes up so much space on the shelf.
So funny, Julie. run on toilet paper. You say you don't even realize
I
how
don't.
So smart you are.
There is a run on toilet paper because it's so bulky. It takes up a lot of space. So you may think you have a full shelf of toilet paper.
Right.
But only 20 packs.
Yeah, right.
So only 20 people get toilet paper that day.
Yeah.
And so you think people are like, oh my God, we're hoarding toilet paper.
Right.
No, the truth is a little bit of us are hoarding it. Mm-hmm. But mostly every time it's there, we want to pick it up because, oh my God, there's only 20 packets of toilet paper.
Exactly.
We got to get that.
I dig that, Joel.
And we can only get the certain kind. You know, the single ply. That's
because
all we can get.
Of where we live.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
We live in single ply land.
Where our butts are always itchy, and life, and we never can support bears, you know, Cottonelle bears.
Oh, got
you
it.
Know, because that would be lovely.
Got it.
But we have to just like the single ply. So we talked about our New Year's resolutions. Not the right word,
right?
But just like values. And we wrote down some key phrases that we just kind of want to embrace this year.
Mm-hmm.
And one was the year of our home.
Correct. We did.
And we did. Because even last year, we've talked about we want to do deep cleaning, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. But with anything, a home will just, you know, like we've got a
entropy.
Deck done this year.
Entropy
takes place all the time. Yeah. We did the deck. That looks lovely.
Yes.
We did the backyard. That looks lovely.
Yes.
We need to keep going with it. So this is the year of the home.
Right.
And embrace that. Enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
We also call this the year of giving. We want to analyze the way we give.
Right.
We want to...
We wanted to analyze it, but we wanted to systematize it better.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but that's what we're heading in that direction.
And for me, I love...
We called it effective...
Altruism.
Altruism.
I love that phrase. Mm-hmm. I heard it. I go, oh, this seems like a lovely phrase to kind of embrace and go deeper with our giving and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And this, we're holding on to the concept of this or something better.
Right.
Like
nothing lateral.
Nothing lateral or right. less.
Because we brushed up against lateral things
yes.
last year.
Oh, for sure.
And we contemplated them greatly.
Yeah.
But I think we were blessed in the sense that we started to go, well, this is a lateral. Is that
right.
what we really want?
Is that what we really want?
We want this, which is what we have.
Right.
Or something
or
better.
Or something better.
Not this. Or something just the same, but different.
Yeah. Different problems. Not really a tick up. Just kind of like,
Like in football. A lateral is like, okay.
Mm, yeah. Not really moving the ball down the court, down the thing. You're
right.
just kind of like stuck there. And then there's also this phrase, which I always love, all I need is within us now.
Right.
All I need is within me now.
All we need is within us now.
We are full. We are whole. And that kind of, I love the idea of having faith to, we were also reading, or was you channeled this? Did you channel this? Like the three things that you need, or we might have read that in the keys. Mm. It's faith.
Oh, yeah.
Service
to mankind.
faith, service to mankind,
and the belief in the mysteries of God.
God, yes.
Kingdom. The kingdom mysteries.
Yes, the kingdom mysteries. I'm like, oh, that is fascinating.
Yeah.
And we've talked about faith before on this show. This show is not a faith-based show because we like to be light and fun, have goofiness
and
about it.
And we do say cuss words.
Yes, and I think that's okay. This is my joy. But what also has come to me is this phrase of joy exchanges.
Hmm.
This used to give me joy, but it also has some side effects.
Oh, I totally know where you're going with
this. I need to have some more joy.
Yes.
To have the right kind of side effects, right, or less side effects.
Right.
So exchanging one joy pill for another joy pill.
Right. When you talk about side effects, you really mean consequences.
I mean consequences. I have had, and like I took pot for the first time. I ate a brownie, and I threw that brownie away because I didn't like the effects. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it wasn't the right kind of joy.
Mm-hmm. For you.
For me. I'm not judging. I really want it to be.
Yeah.
I wanted to be my answer to everything.
Yeah. We wanted it to be your answer to everything.
Yeah. And I didn't take much. But what I thought was interesting is this idea of, like, this joy that I have here has its consequences, its side effects. I want to add more joy to my life so I can replace that joy for other joys that that have a different side effect, different consequences. Because everything has consequences or benefits. I know consequences have a negative term, but it could just be benefits as well. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where I'm at too. How do I add more joy to my life in ways that are helpful to my bottom line?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Well, you know, Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about, oh, P.S. a side note, I heard the news today that the Wall Street Journal was upset that Biden's wife calls herself Dr. Biden.
Mm-hmm. I heard that rumor.
Because she's a PhD, not an MD.
I did not know that, though.
I didn't know that either.
I thought she was an MD.
That's what I thought. Then I thought to myself, oh, well, it is a little mischaracterizing.
Yeah.
I get that because I literally thought she was a medical doctor.
Yeah. Now, it's not to take anything away from PhDs.
I definitely
because,
agree.
You know,
it's
I
hard
mean,
too.
Like some of these neurosciences or scientists.
Or Dr. Jordan Peterson, you know, he's a clinical psychologist.
Right.
I get that.
Right.
But for whatever reason, I have always thought he was married to a doctor, medical doctor.
Yeah, I did too.
So, and so forth. And maybe we should have different doctors.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
I'm not going to get into that discussion.
No, but I thought that was interesting, though. Because I had always thought that she was a medical doctor.
Yeah, me too.
And not just the way that people think Dr. Drew is a medical doctor, which he is. He's a full-blown medical doctor. But people say, well, he's not a real doctor. No, he really is a real doctor.
Why did people say that?
I don't know why. I think because he's on TV. They don't believe he's a
real
doctor.
He's associated with Adam Carolla.
Yes, and he does a lot of drug addiction stuff.
Yeah.
But he is a certified doctor, medical doctor. Mm-hmm. But throwing that aside, what was I talking about?
I have no idea.
I don't know, but I got into that.
Oh, the joy thing.
Oh, the joy thing.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's... we were also talking about, or you channeled this information about how giving could really bring in a lot of joy to your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of this COVID, a lot of things that I had given me joy were cut off from me. Mm-hmm. And I replaced it. You know, I mean, like going to the movies. I mean, just real normal, natural
just
stuff
normal,
that you get joy from
just
stopped. And I think so the joy fact, even though our lives remained busy and we worked a lot and we weren't affected in those kind of ways. I mean, we were like our lives got harder.
Yeah.
They didn't get easier. They didn't get less busy. It just got harder to maintain everything. It was just crazy. Like everybody else's life did for sure. But I think that that's where everybody's at. We've lost so much of our opportunities to have joy.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're trying to figure out, well, how do we bring joy back in?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're still 3, 4, 5 months away from everybody being vaccinated.
Well, also, too, I think a lot of people mistake entertainment for joy or distracting yourself for mm-hmm. joy. I mean,
please don't take that away from me, because that's exactly what I think joy is.
Yeah.
You're going to take that away from me?
No. But I do understand, though, that there are certain types of joy that the consequences are not what you want.
Right.
The side effects are not what you want. That's what I was trying to go for.
Well, and I think I'll say food for one thing.
Yeah.
I'm not a big drinker. I'm not a big doing drugs. Mm-hmm. I was hoping. And so this year I have indulged more than I would have liked to mm-hmm. on the food side. Mm-hmm. And the way my body reacts to food is like, if I'm not pretty cautious all the time,
yeah,
I can put weight on
yeah.
real fast. And this was the year that just, and it's like, oh my God, you know, and I understand it. I understand why it happened. But now 2021's here, and the pressure is here to like get back on the stick or whatever, or still have joy. Like, I love cooking. Like, I still make my homemade soup, my vegetable soup. Mm-hmm. I still love salads. I still love all the other stuff. Mm-hmm. I cook pretty healthy.
Yes, you do.
But that ain't enough.
Well, you know, there's something about, okay, life offers us, if we take it, a clean palate every day.
Every day.
A fresh start every
100%.
Day. And honestly, maybe even more so than every day.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's a new year instead of a new day, it sort of magnifies that bigger
yeah.
palate.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't want it to be pressure for any of us. I really want it to be joyful.
Yeah.
I don't want to see any of this as pressure, because then it is the, you know, we lose the envelopes in February.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, we don't want to do that. So this year, I think a lot of the stuff that we did, I think, is designed to bring us long-term joy.
Right. And I a lot of these things are so based on maintenance, because entropy, unlike Tennant, entropy is a real thing on planet Earth.
Right.
And our relationships experience entropy, our homes experience entropy, our bodies experience entropy, and we are always meant to tend to them and care to them like mm-hmm. farming. Mm-hmm. I was watching on Amazon Prime, they had a show on Italy. It was a WTTW show, PBS show on Italy, mm-hmm. and several episodes. And I would bike and watch one or two here and there. Mm-hmm. And what you realize was that dolce, it's a phrase. Like
La love, dolce vita?
Yeah.
The good life?
The good life.
Yeah.
And
the Italians truly take that to heart.
They truly do.
Yeah.
And a lot of them take it the old ways to heart.
Yes.
100%. And so it isn't about acquiring more and more new
hell
stuff.
No.
It's
no.
about holding on to
the good stuff that you have.
And also holding on to the good old traditions.
Yes.
Like one episode was sweet. It was this woman and she was looming. You know, they're all about their fabrics.
Mm-hmm.
And her grandmother had brought back into play these, or great-great-grandmother brought back into play these 600-year-old looms.
Mm-hmm.
And she taught the women of the town how to use these looms
mm-hmm.
to provide a way of income for them
mm.
and to take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just thinking, you know, ingenuity mm-hmm. and entrepreneurship was around all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The school closed down in 1995 or 1993. And then the granddaughter got going on the looms, you know, after her grandmother passed away
mm-hmm.
and then reopened the school 3 years later. She's like, mm-hmm. we need these.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, it's just so wonderful to know that this is a tradition that's been done over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the loom process is so mm-hmm. fascinating, because mm-hmm. it's like no one fabric is the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's all different.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And it's like the first computer in some sense,
mm-hmm.
because the loom has these different holes that, like, it's a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And you put the new pattern in. I mean, it's just fascinating how it works.
Mm-hmm.
I still can't figure it out. because I see it done. I'm like, I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it. Mm-hmm. And I saw how cashmere was made. Mm-hmm. This woman.
Yeah, you taught me the fact that cashmere is made from goats.
Goat skin.
But not
goat hair.
goat hair, but only the spring goat hair.
Right, because it's the undercoat. It keeps them warm.
Yeah.
And so you have to comb it out.
Yeah.
Right, at spring.
Which is so, I mean, talk about so nice and gentle.
Oh, yeah.
And not harsh on the animals.
No, no. And they're just getting brushed.
Like even
and...
like with lambs, you have to like shear them.
Yes.
Which is, you know, like, yep. Ooh.
Yep.
But here...
Yeah, you just gotta, I mean, it's fascinating. And it was fascinating to see how in Rome they have this standard pasta dish. And it was their famous cheese, pecorino.
Pecoroni?
Pecorino, I think.
Pecorino?
Something like that.
Pecorino.
Pecorino. Yeah. And this homemade pasta they make. Yeah. And I watched them, and like, you don't add cream to the cheese. That would be like sacrilegious.
Mm-hmm. You just because in Italy, cheese is cheese. You don't mess with it.
No, and you start off with cold water.
Yeah, not hot.
With it, and throw some pepper in the cold water.
Yeah,
and then you add the shredded like mozzarella, like almost like a Parmigiana looking kind of cheese to the cold water, and you whip it until it makes like a saucy paste.
Uh-huh.
And then you throw the hot pasta on it. And then you whip it up, and then you put some salt and pepper on it, and it's good to go.
Good to go.
And you're like, holy cow, that's so simple.
Yeah.
And but the simple things of life.
Yes.
And how so beautiful. True. And it was interesting because they would eat at restaurants, and the restaurants reminded me of living in the suburbs, eating at our favorite Piccolo Roma.
Yes, Piccolo Roma.
And, you know, it wasn't a fancy restaurant. Mm-mm. You know, we all had the plastic covered tablecloths.
No, because actually just, it's like being with your family.
That's exactly how it was.
Yeah.
Lights were not pleasing to the eye.
No.
These were big overhead lights everywhere. Yeah. Everybody's just like, hey, family, come on
yes,
in.
Yes, exactly.
Eat. But it was so sweet watching this. And you had been channeling a lot about turtle energy. I don't know why you have been.
And just because that's what came for me.
It came for you. Yeah. And then I had mentioned that in Italy, this one... everything is done. So whatever you need, you do it with beauty in mind as well.
That's right.
It's like you do this plus you do it with beauty in mind. Right. So it just uplifts everything.
Just like how, remember I was teaching you like when you wash a dish.
Yeah.
You imagine every dish that you wash is you're washing the baby Jesus.
Yes.
It's like you just have to do it with that sort
kind of attention and purpose and so
focus,
forth.
Yeah.
And so this one winery made this huge building out of a that looks like a tortoise shell because turtles represent
you said good luck
longevity
something else
yeah
prosperity maybe?
I think so, but it was good luck. It's like longevity, good luck and longevity. And the third one was similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, that's so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
That's just lovely.
Because
that's what we kind of want.
Mm-hmm.
And
the fact that they even use things that represent the idea. So it's an archetype.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So they bring that in. So that is so you understand that it's like tradition and archetypal. And there's this, given this... homage to that lineage.
Well, and it's interesting because they talk about Mount Vesuvius. Yes. So, and that's the volcano that destroyed Pompeii, right?
Correct.
And that's near Naples.
Correct.
Just south of Naples. And 500,000 or 700,000 people live in the vicinity. The death circle around Mount Vesuvius, yes. But what they say is, which is very interesting, is that because of this volcano that's not, it's dormant right now, but the land is filled with so many minerals that their grapes are wonderful. Their crops are wonderful. Because several years ago...
Of the lava that's in there?
When it erupts, it gives out all the minerals out in the world.
Got it.
And it's one of the few places where they have these really old grape vines. Because a couple decades ago or three or four, a while ago, they lost like all but 15% of their vineyards due to this one bug.
Mm.
And so what they learned was that in Italy, most grapes are posted to an American oak post so that the vine itself is not touching the ground or something like that, or mm-hmm. is attached to an oak post mm-hmm. so that, because these bugs do not eat American oak trees.
Mm.
And so I'm like, well, that is really mm. wild. And they said that's just how it's done all over, except mm-hmm. in this one area near Mount Vesuvius mm-hmm. because the bugs do not do well in mm-hmm. volcanic rock. And so they're not there.
So awesome.
And so you see these really, really old grapevines.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this is
amazing.
So cool. Looking. Oh, it's very cool. When the lemons are cool and how to make limoncello. And
you taught me too. You mentioned that, well, when we used to go visit my Nona and Nono, they used to make risotto.
Mm-hmm.
And my Nona did.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to make, I mean, I looked forward to it every single year
yeah.
to go visit her. And I'm thinking now, what is the one spice that...
Saffron.
That she used to use saffron in it. And chicken livers, which you think a kid would hate, but I loved them.
Yeah.
And the way she used to make them.
Yeah.
And but the saffron gave it that special flavor, that special look. And I did not know this, but you were telling me about how saffron... how special it is in the sense
right.
that
well, what saffron is, so basically it's the stem part or the
stamen
yes of the plant and it's three little orange dark or deep orange stamen
yeah
which sounds very sexual and it probably isn't a plant. I don't know what it means.
Sounds like John Stamos.
Exactly. But the way it's done is that you can only pick the flower. They only bloom once, one time in their season.
In the season or the whole life?
In the season of the plant.
Right.
One,
okay.
And you have to pick that flower,
it's a flower
when it blooms.
All right.
Or right before it blooms so that you have one day to pick this flower.
Oh, my gosh.
And you pick it and then you tear apart. You get the stamen.
The three things.
Yeah. And it's worth like $13,000 a pound.
Right.
But I can't imagine how
that's exactly right. And so if you can find a place that sells it,
yeah.
you spend about $20 to $30 for this tiny little bit.
Yes.
Less than an ounce.
And so you've decided that one of the things that you'd like to put in your bucket list
yes.
is to be a gentleman farmer.
Yes. And grow
saffron.
And raise
cashmere sheep or cashmere goats.
Cashmere goats.
Yes. And have goat cheese.
And also do some lavender.
Yes.
And on the side, do some
bees
to have local honey.
Yes.
And so then I'm going to be a true gentleman farmer.
Yes.
Or a gentlewoman farmer.
Either one. That sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where we're going to do this. And I don't know the actual... My feeling is, well, the saffron comes from bulbs.
Yes.
So I do know
you
that.
You order the saffron bulbs.
Saffron bulbs, exactly. I don't know the kind of temperature they need or
no,
the kind of soil
yeah,
they need.
Yeah.
But I think that would be lovely. But you know how, like, back in the day, like, ginseng used to be like that gold kind of, like,
yes.
Like, oh, gotta try and grow ginseng
yeah.
and sell ginseng. And I'm
right.
like, how do we do that? How do we get that going?
Right.
And I think the people who really do it, they don't want to tell you exactly how it's done.
No.
So you're just kind of left to your own devices. Like, how does this work? I
yeah.
don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll
yeah.
see.
But doesn't it sound lovely though, Julie?
It sounds like
I did ask you
a great
the question
purpose.
Though. I asked you
what did you ask
about
me?
The goats. I said, are they by any chance the screaming goats or are they the fainting goats? And you went, oh, they're the goats that have the cashmere coats.
Yeah,
mother.
They just have the cashmere goats. I don't know if they're
I know is that there's screaming goats
yeah.
and then there's fainting goats.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that the idea that you can have two kinds of goats
mm-hmm.
in the same yard.
Yeah.
And one is screaming and the other is fainting.
And I would prefer not to have either one of those in my yard. It would just seem so cruel.
They do wake up though. It's so
do
cute
they?
Though. Yeah. I've seen it happen.
I go,
and then they fade.
Oh, yeah.
yeah. the ones that faint are not the ones that scream.
No, so yeah. You'd put them together.
Just for a second or
just
two.
Just for a second. Yeah, because you're drawn that way.
Yeah, just that's true.
You're drawn that way. Yeah. I get you. Yeah. I get you. So that's kind of cool. They also had they have a wild boar problem in Italy, too. And a pack of boars can, like, get through a whole vineyard in like a day or two. So they
you mean they're grapes? When you say vineyard, you mean grapes.
I mean grapes.
Whoa.
And so you have to go on boar hunting expeditions. And
is there an animal? Like, we have here, we have people that bring in donkeys or mules.
Yes.
Because we have a like a coyote problem.
Right.
And so the coyotes are afraid of the mules, so they don't get the chickens.
Right. Yes, that's right.
I think that's it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
No, they, okay. So they do not, I think these boars are not afraid of the donkeys.
Mm-hmm.
But there are places where the coyotes or the wolves, the Italian wolves, will eat the animals, like the Kashmir goats.
Mm-hmm.
And she had brought in two Italian, basically huge dogs. They're not wolf dogs, but they're like oversized golden retrievers. Mm-hmm. They're really big.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, ever since I got these two dogs, they kind of like hang around the goats and they're fine. But no coyote or wolves have come around.
Love it.
They haven't lost any of them.
Love it.
And previously they were losing them right and left. So... Mm-hmm. So even though things are fenced in,
mm-hmm.
these animals, if they know that their easy food is just mm-hmm. across this fence, mm-hmm. they're going to figure out a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might build a ladder or something. I don't know.
It makes you think, though, that if it's a serious problem, there should be other ways to address it. Like, for example, we understand that, like bears.
Yeah.
We've seen bears become sort of trained in the wilderness to go into trash cans.
Yes.
Or to people's, because they're no longer like eating like
berries.
Yeah.
They don't like eat squirrels. They don't eat squirrels.
They don't eat squirrels.
I don't think so.
Okay, berries.
Yeah.
But now they're going, let's just forage through these trash cans.
Yeah, like, thank you, humans.
I have leftover pizza or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
So I'm just saying, why can't they train the boars to do something similar?
Okay, I don't know what they would do. Would they leave their trash cans out for them? What do you want?
Why not?
But then you've got boars eating your trash, right?
Or the trash that you want them to eat.
Oh, that just seems like a lot of work. I don't know. I think there might be a slight flaw in your thinking.
Is it?
In our think exercise or our mental game exercise.
Our thought experience?
That's our thought experiment. I think we're off here. I'm just not sure. Mm-hmm. We'll see. So that was
would that be a word that you would like to see gone in 2021?
Oh yeah, I'm done with thought experiments.
Yeah,
I am done. Like, screw you guys. They don't ever happen. What's the big deal? You know,
it's kind of cruel to make somebody choose between their children and artwork.
Yeah, artwork that's worth millions that could save the lives of millions.
Yeah.
And like, okay, whatever.
How dare you choose a life for your children?
Exactly. I've done these thought experiments in my own mind, and I really do think that, like Scrabble, you always say, Julie, the way I play Scrabble is I do my best hand that's given to me at that moment.
Right.
You play what's given to you at that moment.
Yeah.
Let the future, Christine, deal with the future moves.
Yeah.
So
hence, that's why I have the life that I have today.
Exactly. So, but I feel like given the chance of saving one kid or a Picasso that could be sold and saved a million kids.
Yeah.
There's another couple steps involved in that saving the Picasso.
Right.
I save the kid that's going down right there.
Right.
So that's how my thought process.
The kid that making eye contact with you.
Yeah.
And going, please help
please.
Me.
I go, hold on, kid. I know this is an ethical question and a moral question here. Do I save you? But if I save the Picasso, I get to save many, many, many more kids in the future.
Yeah.
But what about me right now?
I'm gonna grow up to be a president of the.
I promise you, I will make that much of the Picasso, and I will save those kids. And you're like, oh, good point. Taking you save. Play the cards that you're dealt at that moment. Let future Julie, future mm-hmm. Christine, deal with future problems, so forth. Play your life like Scrabble. Mm. And as I've learned as well in Scrabble, the way you play, you tend to like to block other people's successes. I may say, hey,
I'm a
Christine,
Scrabble blocker.
You have a good word here. I said, yeah, Julie, but if I put this word here, she can't get triple's point score and all this
I
stuff.
I do like to think a couple of move ahead.
Yes.
A couple, just a couple moves ahead of the game.
Just a couple. I'm not saying you're the girl in Queen's Gambit.
I'm not the Queen's Gambit girl.
But you do say play the best hand you got, and then if you can block their next move, all good.
It's all good, girlfriend.
All good. All good.
You know, you were telling me, just to change the story a wee bit, but you were telling me about the greatest sea rescue ever.
Yes.
And I think it's a wonderful story to bring in the new year with. I think it's a story of, like, hope and bravery and, like Celine Dion says, something goes on. What goes on?
My heart goes on.
My heart goes on.
Okay.
Or as Miley Cyrus says.
You got to climb that mountain.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll talk to you about it. I had never heard the story before, and I kind of done some deep digging into the story a little bit because I've never heard it before. Mm-hmm. And it was this. Okay, we've all heard of Dunkirk. Right?
Dunkirk, the battle at Dunkirk.
Yes.
And well,
World War
but
II.
But maybe we all haven't.
Okay.
Give us like the 2-minute version of it.
Basically, the 2-minute version of Dunkirk is that in France? Yes. Across from England. All these English soldiers were trapped on the beach.
Right.
And they could not be rescued. And Churchill sent out an alarm saying, if you got a boat, go across the channel and pick up guys.
Just we need them. Our soldiers.
We need our soldiers
up.
Back. And
and just normal people, everyday people, fishermen, old people, got into boats and things that hadn't even been like started up.
Yes.
In years, and got into boats to go and save these soldiers, like, that were trapped.
Over like 350,000 soldiers that day. I mean,
well, the reason it was so important was that literally these were our youngest men.
Yes.
And how would we repopulate?
Right. They said
England.
How could England recover from such a devastating loss?
Yes.
339,000 men trapped.
Young men.
Young men trapped. Now, Mom, you're playing sexism right there. A rageism.
Why not?
I know, but previously you said, how dare we think a young life is worth more than an old life?
See, that's how I'm thinking now, but back in Dunkirk days.
Yes, it
was
important.
We were allowed to think like that.
Okay, got it. Oh, good.
I'm not like cancel culture.
No.
Just because I thought something different 40 years ago.
Okay, thank you. But so 339,000 English soldiers trapped on the beaches in France. No way to get them off. And Churchill sends out the alarm, and he just called any maritimer.
Aww. Julie.
Is that wrong?
I like the way you said it.
Maritimer.
Maritimers. No. Aww. Let's just.
Don't wait, say it for me.
No,
please.
I want it to be in my head.
Don't.
I want it to
me.
Be in my head like that.
Okay.
Maritimers. You did it right, girl.
Okay. Okay. I am a little dyslexic.
No, it's the right word.
Okay. But I'm not saying it right.
I would say maritimers. But you're like Mary, M-E-R-R-Y.
Oh, right.
Like maritimers.
Yeah.
I think
happy
it's
guys.
Sweet. Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. So, I mean, you know, there were 339,000 of these men. I don't think there were women at that time. Rescued at Dunkirk.
Correct.
I saw the movie. It was pretty impressive.
It was.
We had, on 9/11, 500,000 people evacuated on the south side of Manhattan.
On the beaches of Manhattan.
Manhattan on 9/11.
Yeah.
But the Coast Guard threw out a code. So basically what happened when the towers got hit, the streets got closed down, the tunnels got closed down, no one could leave Manhattan.
And it was so smoky
yes.
that people got lost.
And they were, if they headed north, yeah. they were okay. They could get out of the city.
Right.
But if they headed south, they were trapped by the Hudson or the,
right.
or the and they couldn't cross.
Right.
And so you had 500,000 people
trapped
there, not knowing what was coming
next.
Not
knowing a damn thing about what was coming next.
And so they had some tugboats and ferries that were working. They were trying to do this. And then the Coast Guard called out to all our Maritimers and said, hey, if you got a boat,
please
come and do it. Yeah. Pick up these people and get
them
across.
They were trapped.
They're just trapped.
Yeah.
And I mean, can you imagine 500,000 people yeah. just trapped?
And just people just going out in their little boats, going across, not knowing what's going to happen.
No,
if a bomb's going to drop in the water.
Right. You have no idea.
But that they're all going out. And even if they're taking one or two people back.
Exactly.
Across.
They had big boats and little boats. And I liked it because this one. This one article I was reading about it said even party boats got into play. And I'm like, party boats?
What does that mean?
Yeah, no, party boats. Those big boats that, you know, they're drinking going on and partying and people are dancing and they're party boats.
Oh, they're just, but hopefully there weren't anybody doing that.
I don't
know. Like, or stop your partying and go pick up some people.
Yeah, on a Monday morning.
It was a Tuesday, wasn't it?
Was it Tuesday?
9/11?
Maybe.
Feels like it was a Tuesday.
It was one of those days.
It was probably the first part of the week.
Yeah, I know that in the morning.
Shall I ask Alexa?
No, you could.
Alexa?
We're finding out right now.
Was 9/11 on a Monday or Tuesday?
We're finding out.
September 11th attacks, also referred to as 9/11,
okay.
were a series of
four attacks which devastated New York. Okay, Alexa, stop.
2001.
Okay, he's not going to tell us anything. Okay, they're not telling us, so that's fine.
We just wanted to know what day it happened.
Yeah, yeah, we're not.
She's listening.
I know,
and she didn't get.
I know, she didn't get the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So, but when I read this, I just thought this was. I didn't know anything about it.
I did not either.
That, you know, during this time, you know, calls went out to everywhere and people all across the, you know, up there in New York and all around the sea
that
line.
They had boats,
got in their boats, mm-hmm. and they tell a story. This one guy saying,
so, Julie,
I had to go. I had to get in my boat and go up there. And, uh-huh. and he goes, if I can just save one person, it would be worth it.
Well, we have this, we have a cool sailboat, K-O-O-L.
Yes.
It's made of styrofoam.
Yes.
And it has we got it because it was a promotion.
Yes.
And we got it like in 1970.
Yeah, I think so.
And you sent in $50 and the box tops from like 5 cartons of cool.
Yeah.
And we didn't smoke, but we thought it was so cool to be able to get a sailboat.
Right.
That we bought 5
yeah.
cartons of, we still have them, but
yeah.
So we have this, can you imagine going out in our little such styrofoam sailboat?
No, I cannot.
Somebody go, come on, people, get in.
I think
you
not.
Know what?
I think my chances.
I think I'll stay here. No, come on, get in.
Get in. We're good.
No, not really.
Thank you. We appreciate the idea. My thought, you know, a lot of time has passed, so I can make jokes about this situation now. My first thought is this guy is saying, hey, honey, I got to take our boat out now. And, you know, save these, if I save one person.
Yes.
And she's like, you know, you do anything to get on that boat. You're like, or like, oh, thank God that boat's good for something.
Yeah. They probably had already put it away for the year.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was September 11th, so I don't know. Maybe it's still in play.
I don't know either.
You know, but
I don't know.
So that, but I just thought that was awesome.
I'm surprised we did not know about this.
Yeah.
Are we silly that we didn't know about this?
I just think.
Or did we know it and we forgot?
I had never heard of it.
No.
Never.
No.
Supposedly, Tom Hanks narrated a documentary on the 9/11 boat rescue. And I'm like, really?
When?
Where was that playing?
Of course he did.
Exactly. Of course.
Of course he did.
Was it Tom Hanks, really?
Yeah.
I think it's his brother who does all of his voiceover work. they just eliminate to the.
That's true.
Name.
I heard that. I heard that as well.
That Tom Hanks has a brother.
That he has a brother that does a lot of that stuff. That
yeah, he does.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Isn't that awesome?
Is that a rumor or is that
true? No, it's true. He said it. Well, he does. Tom Hanks, when he was being interviewed somewhere, I heard him say, yeah, my brother does a lot of the voiceover work for he's not the Buzz Lightyear guy. He's the other guy, the cowboy. Mm. Can't think of his name.
Cowboy.
I don't know. Mm. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is I want a better memory for 2021. But
yeah.
But maybe I'll go to Coursera and I'll get my certificate in Google tech support.
Really?
Yeah.
And get a job for $13.45.
I can work from home.
Yay.
Yay. Another reason not to leave the house. I'm kind of looking for reasons to leave the house. You know, give me a break. So we kissed 2020 goodbye.
We did.
We say hello to 2021. I'm going to make our values and our goals into a nice picture so we can frame it.
I would like
that.
So
we have an idea what we're doing for this year.
Yeah.
And girlfriend,
I've got a couple things up my sleeve too.
Oh, that I love it.
That I want to put in effect this year.
I love it. So girlfriend, how was the show?
Julie, girlfriend, it was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great.